Well, turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 8. It's a wonderful psalm that reminds us of the glory of who God is and then what God thinks of us. Psalm 8. For the director of music, according to Gittith, Gittith is probably a musical instrument, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We're living at a time of tremendous confusion of people understanding who they are. In America at the moment, and it's going to come our way at some point in time, there seems to be a great debate about what we should be calling people. And the big debate revolves around whether we can define people only as a he or a she. People are saying, no, you can't only define me as a he or a she. The big debate is that each of us has the right to choose how we want to be defined. So if you're a man and you want to become a woman, you can, from that point and often say, no, I'm not a man anymore. From this point on, I'm a woman. Seems rather confusing, isn't it? But friends, that's the world we're living in. It's a massive debate happening in America at the moment. And sure, it's going to go into the rest of the world. And it's going to hit our country at some point in time. But you know, the wonderful thing is, I don't think they've looked at this psalm. Because as I looked at the psalm, I want to focus on this one thing today. You will know who you are when you know who God is. You will know who you are when you know who God is. Friends, David, he asked that question, what is man that you are mindful of? He's answering that very question that the world is asking today. Who am I? How should I define myself? And my message to them today is, you will know who you are when you know who God is. As we consider that statement today, notice firstly, David reminds us of God's position in the opening verses. First of all, he reminds us that God's name is supreme. The psalm begins and ends off with this phrase, O Lord, our Lord. There are two Hebrew words there. I'll think about the second one first. The second word, Hebrew word that is used there is the word Adonai. And it was a word that was used very commonly those days. And it simply means the one who is the master. That's the word that was used. So you would call your boss Adonai. But David reminds us that there actually is only one who is master of all, and that's God himself. That's the second law, O Lord. You see, if you read your see in your Bible, the first O Lord is in capitals, and the second O our Lord is in smaller letters. Because they're two different words. That second word is Adonai, the one who is master of all. But the first word in the psalm, the first verse of the psalm and the last verse of the psalm, is the word O Lord. Capital L. And that in Hebrew is the name Yahweh. The name God gave himself. You will remember in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, God appeared to Moses. I'll read it for us. It says to Moses, go and speak to the Egyptians and speak to my people. Then Moses says to God in verse 13, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God says to Moses, Yahweh. And it literally means, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. He says, I am has sent you to you. God has said to Moses, say to Israelites, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Friend, this is the name of God. What does it literally mean? The word is so holy. Even today, Jewish people won't even pronounce the name Yahweh. They won't speak that name out. Certainly, they will not write it. I think I've used this illustration once before, but let me remind you. When Jewish scholars were making copies of the Bible. Now, don't forget, before the printing press, they had to write new copies of the Bible. So what they would have to do is, when they were making new copies of the Bible, they would write the verses. When they came to the name Yahweh, they would get up off their chairs. They would go into a separate room. They would take the clothes off that they were wearing. They would wash themselves. They would put on a new set of clothing. They would come back and sit down, and they would write just one word, Yahweh. Then they would stand up again and go back to the changing room, take off those clothes that they had worn, wash themselves again, put on another set of clothes, and come back and rewrite, carry on writing the rest of the words. You see, friends, the Jewish scholars understood that when God gave himself this name, this was a name that was above every single other name. And literally translated, it means I am who I am, which simply means God is one who has always been there. He's the only one who is eternal. He's the only one who has that name. A person I followed just recently in recent years is a man called Jordan Peterson. And Jordan Peterson made a very perceptive comment about the debate about people choosing them for themselves, what they want to be known by. And what he is saying, what he says is, he believes this is the devil's attempt to make people think that they are God. Because you see, God is the one who said, I am who I am. God chose this name for himself. And Joris Peterson was saying, that's what people are trying to do today. They're trying to make themselves equal to God by saying to God, we don't choose what you made us. We will choose who we think we should be. But friend, there is only one whose name is supreme. David reminds us of that. Secondly, David reminds us that God's fame is legendary. Friends, he says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That word majesty is used when one generation is describing to the next generation who God is. They talk about the majesty of God. You'll find that in Psalm 145, verses 4 to 7. Listen to this is what it says. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. David, friends, reminds us that not only is God's name supreme, but God's fame is legendary. Everybody knows about God. The problem today, friend, is not that people don't know about God. It's just that they don't acknowledge God anymore. That's the problem in the world we're living in today. The Apostle Paul understood that. Even at the time of the living of Christ, friends, that was already a problem. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 1 says this, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what we may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And here's the verse. Although they know God or knew God, they neither glorify him as God, nor give thanks to them, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images that looked like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. God has given them over to their sinful nature, sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual immorality, for the degrading of their bodies for one another. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. Friends, that's what's happening in our world today. Those who say, I will choose who I want to be, are basically saying, I don't believe and trust in God. I will be the one who chooses what's important. Thirdly, David not only reminds us that God's name is supreme and God's fame is legendary, he also reminds us, thirdly, that God's value is beyond measure. He says, you have set your glory above the heavens. All David is saying there, friends, is that not even the heavens as we see them can contain the glory of God. How big are the heavens? Well, scientists have predicted that if you could travel at the speed of light, which is, I think, 193,000 miles per second. It's about 250,000 miles per second. If you can travel at the speed of light for about 14.8 billion years, then you will get to the end of creation. I don't know. I mean, those figures are just beyond my comprehension. Traveling at the speed of light for 13.8 billion years, friends, then you may get to the end of what we now know as the creation. And God's glory, David says, your glory, friends, is above the heavens. Nothing can contain the glory of God. The fourth thing David reminds us, friends, is that God's honor is worthy of our worship. He says in verse 2, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Now, how can babies praise God? You've ever wondered how a baby can praise God? Well, certainly not in recognizable words and voice, and that's pretty clear. But babies praise God, friends, by their very existence. The infinite complexity of cell multiplication and division, which results in a baby proclaims most eloquently the existence of infinite wisdom and skill. Take, for example, the brain. Do you know how many cells there are in your brain? Now, some of you may have less than others, don't you? No, I'm only joking. There are 100,000 million cells in your brain. Just think about that. 100,000 million cells just in your brain. Forget about the rest of your body, friends. If that doesn't describe an infinite God, what does? And each of those 100,000 million cells is themselves a sort of, somebody described it like this, an electrochemical factory come microcomputer come communication system. Interestingly, there are as many cells in your brain as there are stars in our galaxy alone. Just in our galaxy. Forget about the millions of galaxies else out there. But just in our galaxy, friends, there are 100,000 million stars. And then David looks up into the sky, and he looks up into the heaven, and he sees the wonder of this heaven. He says, babies declare your praise by their very existence. So after establishing the position of God, reminding us that God's name is supreme and God's name is legendary and God's fame and value is beyond measure and God's honor is worthy of our worship, David moves on in the psalm to remind us of the wonder of creation. Now, if God is great, friends, The one way we can measure the greatness of God is just to think about what we do know. We can't comprehend who God is, but we can comprehend a little bit of who, what creation is all about. David says in verse 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place." David makes three statements about God's creation. He reminds us, friends, that God's creation is vast. How big is God's creation? Well, let me ask you, if you're feeling a little bit overweight this morning, let me ask you, how heavy is the earth? Anybody know? Well, scientists tell us it's what they call 6 ronograms. Now, what's a ronogram? A ronogram is the number 6 followed by 27 zeros. That's how heavy the earth is, friends. You can get on the scale. Don't worry, you're not that going to make it any heavier. Friends, again, those are figures that are beyond our understanding. But you know how big the sun is? The sun, friends, is 330 times bigger than the earth. It is beyond comprehension. But you know, our sun is not the biggest star that there is. Our sun is one of the smallest stars in creation. The biggest star scientists have called, it's just a technical number, it's R136A1. It's the heaviest star known to us at the moment. And the heaviest star that scientists have been able to calculate is 230 times the size of our sun. Friends, God's creation is vast. You see, we think we understand God, but we can't even comprehend God's creation. Because God's creation, friends, gives us figures in our heads beyond our comprehension. But not only is God's creation vast, it's also complex. Friends, it's infinitely complex. First of all, consider the DNA structure. You know, our bodies are made up of DNA. DNA, that little string of kind of cells that are joined together. I can't pronounce it all there. It contains all the information that is needed to determine who we are. Do you know one string of DNA? Scientists have calculated contains as much information as all of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, we don't have books anymore, do we? All the information in the Encyclopedia Britannica, 3 or 4 times over, just in one strand in your body. All that information is contained there. If the brain contains 100,000 million cells, the whole body contains 37.2 trillion cells. That's how complex you are. Did you think of yourself as being that complex? You are made up of 37.2 trillion little bits put together. And each of those contains DNA. And each DNA contains enough information to fill 4 sets of Encyclopedia Britannica. Friends, do you think we'll know who God is? Man, we can't even understand human beings. We can't even fully comprehend ourselves, God's creation, because God's creation isn't only vast, it's complex. But the beautiful thing is, friends, while God's creation is vast and complex, God's creation has a purpose. Everything in creation is made by God for a purpose. Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Colossians chapter 1, it reminds us, for he, Jesus, is the image of the first invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were made, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he may have supremacy. Friends, God has made everything for a purpose, and the purpose is that it's all made to give glory to Jesus. Now we get to the point that I really want to make this morning. Friends, you will know who you are when you know who God is. Friend, God is, his name is supreme, whose fame is legendary, whose value is beyond measure, whose honor is worthy of worship. God, whose creation is vast and complex and purposeful, friends, has made you. That is the God, friends. David reminds us what God thinks of us. Look what it says in verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. He flocks, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and the, all that swim, and the paths of the seas. What does God think of you? Well, there are 3 things, friends. And I want you to leave with these 3 things. First of all, God has you in mind. David says, what is man that you are mindful of him? David couldn't comprehend that this God who was so vast, this God who was so powerful, this God who was so almighty, this God who had made this creation, thought about him. Man, if you don't think much of yourself, let me remind you of this, friends. God thinks about you. God has you in mind. The word that David uses here, what is man, is not the normal word for in Hebrew for man. The normal word for Hebrew in man is Adam. But the word used here is the word Enosh. And the word Enosh means mortal man. frail man, weak man, sinful man, man who's a disaster. And David says, God, how can you, the God of creation, think of me, who's just a nobody? Friends, that's the God. If you consider that the God of all creation, the God who is above creation, has you in mind, friends, then you will understand that you are valuable and you are important. You are in his mind. Secondly, he reminds us that humanity is not only in the mind of God, but also in the heart of God. The verse carries on and said, the Son of Man, that you care for him. God, you care for me? David was blown away, friends. You care for me, God. Why do you even care for me? Interestingly, the word translated care in the NIV is the word pakad in Hebrew. And the King James Version of the Bible translates it better than the NIV, because the King James Version of the Bible translates it as the Son of Man who you came to visit. What was David talking about? Friends, David was talking about Jesus. Because at some point in time, we know Jesus came from heaven. You laid aside your majesty and came to earth. Friends, God thinks about you so much. God cares for you so much that he was willing to lay aside his majesty to come to earth to die for you. If you don't think much about yourself, just consider that. That the God who is beyond comprehension, the God whose creation is beyond our understanding, that same God has loved you, cares for you so much, that is willing to die for you. And thirdly, David reminds us that humanity is in the plan of God. Not only are we in the mind of God and in the heart of God, we're also in the plans of God. He says, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory of honor. You have made him ruler over the works of your hands. Friends, if you don't think you have a purpose, God has made you for a purpose. That's what David is recognizing. Lord, you've made me for a purpose. The purpose is defined for us right back at creation. Friends, we are God's ultimate creation. God said, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man. But he goes on to say this, let us make man in our image. In our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, all the livestock, over the earth and all the creatures that move along it. So God created man in his image, male and female, he created them. Friend, if you don't know who you are, first of all, remember who God is. God's all-powerful. God's above all things. God's creation, friends, is incomprehensible. It's fantastical. We can't even think of all of the things that God's creation is. But friends, don't forget this. God has you in mind. God has you in his heart. God has made you for a purpose. Oh, may the world realize what God thinks of them. May they comprehend that God has made us for a purpose. And that purpose, friends, is to glorify God and give and enjoy him forever. That's our purpose. That's why David starts the psalm and ends the psalm in the same way. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Friend, God has made us. We are made for the glory and the purpose of God. Now, I don't know if you wonder about who you are, but let me just remind you, friend, God loves you. God has thought about you. You're not an accident. You're not a nobody. You're not forgotten. Friend, you are made by God. You're in his mind. You're in his heart. And he has a purpose for your life. Friend, never forget that. The God who is above all has thought about you. We're going to end our service by playing a song, Who Am I? Song sung by Casting Crowns. If you know the words of the song, you can sing along. The worship team haven't practiced the song. I changed it at the last minute. So just remain seated and follow the words as we play the song, as we answer that question, Who am I? Just listen to these very powerful words.